Remember college? Ramen noodles for breakfast, keg stands at the frat house, and that one time you wore a toga to class? Sleep came easy and hangovers were the worst of our worries. We'll be digging through our college days when our knees didn't hurt and we could bend down to tie our own shoes without any help. Then we'll crash land back in reality, where you know your social calendar features more doctor's appointments than happy hours. This will be a hilarious, unflinching look at the journey from dorm room debauchery to derm filler diplomacy. We'll be chatting with friends whose stories are as legendary as they are relatable. We'll laugh, we'll cry, maybe even apply some face cream together. Getting older might come with many inconveniences, but it also comes with the wisdom, wit, and freedom to tell it like it is. This is Hot Flashbacks.
I'm really taking any risks in my 40s. maybe the latter.
I mean, you did say that your plan for the day was to walk the dog and make mashed potatoes. So it doesn't. You're not living a very risky life, are you?
No, not going rock climbing or skydiving.
Hey, welcome to Hot Flashbacks. I'm here today with a good friend of mine, Brooke Weber. Brooke, do you want to tell everybody where you're from?
Hello, world. I am from Wisconsin originally. I currently reside in Chicago, Illinois.
I like that you said whole world because, like, I'm not sure anybody outside of my state is going to listen to this, but I appreciate that.
Someday,
exactly. Okay, so you and I had chatted recently about what it's like to age and realize at some point that you need to be taken care of, or you will need to be taken care of, right? This idea this is one of those situations where I know I didn't think of it as a young person that someday I may need help. And this has just come up because I have a few friends at work who are currently going through the process of taking care of their parents, whether they need assistance or as they are dying, lots of visits to the hospital, taking them to rehab. And it got me thinking that one of the reasons to have children is potentially that they, in theory, will take care of you when you are grown. So I wanted to talk to you because I think you have some interesting perspective on what it's like to age and also be single as you are right now. And I just thought it'd be cool to hear your thoughts on aging and being single and sort of forecasting about the future and what that looks like or feels like for you.
Yeah. I'm so interested in this topic because I'll say it's something that, you know, differently from you, I have actually thought about it for a long time because I knew pretty early on that I didn't want kids. Yeah. And because it's just one of those things that, like, as a woman, of course, you are kind of forced to think about and make a decision on a certain timeline. But I knew pretty early I didn't want kids. And, I knew that that also meant that there wouldn't necessarily be someone to take care of me when I was older. Like, that is kind of a part of the deal, you know?
Is it,
however,
though?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I actually don't subscribe to that anymore. That's kind of the default thought, I think. But I don't know. Especially in situations where the relationship with the parent is really fraught.
Yeah.
It becomes like, how obligated are you to take care of someone who, like, you know, in worst case scenario, someone who abused you, or, you know, it gets really kind of gray. So.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I think that when I think about it, there's always this, it's two sided for me. One is the fear that that your children won't want to take care of you or take care of you in the way that maybe you expect to be taken care of. Or two is that you will feel the weight of asking your children to do that it's a burden that you're putting on them and maybe feel guilty or uncomfortable with that. Do you think people generally feel okay to have their kids take care of them as they age?
Well, I don't know, actually. I mean, I know, like, obviously my perspective is limited to just what my dad has told me, but, like, I know it's a priority for him to have saved a lot of money before they retired so that they, like, he's mapped it all out so that they should be able to kind of take care of themselves as long as, you know, nothing super detrimental happens to either one of them, like till the end of their lives.
The end of time.
Yeah. And like, I think, yeah, I mean, really, it's kind of dark, but it's, you know, he's thought about that. And it's interesting because I think, I don't know, I think of, so on my dad's side, it's me and then my sibling, Sid, and then my sister, Megan, and they're both younger than I am. Sid and I both live in Chicago, which is about a 2.5 hour drive to where my dad lives. But Megan, our middle sister, lives in the same city as my dad.
So she's on the hook.
A little bit, right? Right? Doesn't it kind of seem like, well, you're already there?
I'm not going to lie. I'm in a similar scenario.
Sure, we've never talked about it. But
right.
Yeah,
you just kind of assume.
Yeah, Kelsey, your sister Kelsey, right? Or sorry, I didn't mean to say your siblings' names. If that's not okay.
But no, it's fine.
Is close to your parents, right? So it kind of feels like by default, it just logistically makes sense that she would do more of the heavy lifting. However, Sid and I don't have kids, and Megan has 2 kids. So it's like, who is it harder for, though, to actually help out?
Yeah. So to go backwards a little bit about the having children part, I, as you know, also have not bared my own children. Is that a born? Bared?
Bore?
I think it's bore.
Birthed?
Birthed. I like birthed. I have not birthed my own children. I do have 2 stepchildren. And when I started dating my now wife, I thought, I hadn't really processed what it would be like to be a step parent, have kids. And as I processed that and it got a little more thoughtful about what I was doing in my relationship, I realized that that was one of the benefits in my mind was that when I get old, if I should need care, that they would be there for me in the same way that I've been there for them. And that may not be a fair thing to put on your children. I'm not sure. I struggle with that. And also the idea that, what if your parents didn't financially prepare? Like they chose to not financially prepare or didn't have a choice, but are not. Right. And now what burden does that place on you as children or your responsibility? And to bring this back to being younger, I think I also take into account the things that my parents did for me at a younger age. So I feel like if my parents had paid for my college and got me a car and were really involved in my early adult life in that way, assuming I needed that, that I would feel a responsibility to repay that in some way. I don't know.
I think that's normal, right? To feel kind of that responsibility. It's, I guess, a question of like, how much is that? How much of that is just a cultural thing? And I don't mean to say just a cultural thing. Like, that's really powerful and important.
Sure.
The cultural aspects of it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, even if, you know, I mentioned earlier, like those situations where, you know, there's a kind of an unhealthy relationship with the parent, there's a question mark. But like, just generally, even if your parents did take care of you and treat you well, does it mean that you have to take care of them? I don't know. My gut kind of says no, but then I feel like a jerk, right? A little bit. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to do all of this. And like, I don't know. I feel like I say this now, but I don't have kids, but if I were a parent, I think my perspective on it would be, live your life. You don't owe me anything. Don't ever feel like you have to, you know, you have to take care of me. Like, go live your dreams and, you know, live your best life and don't feel obligated. But but at the same time, I think it would feel bad if your kid didn't want to take care of you.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like they're obligated, it would still feel crappy.
That's a very noble thought. And I would say that I probably felt that way before. I think now that I have kids, Yeah. You don't even know if I'm a good parent, but I appreciate that you said that.
I know that you are. Stop.
I appreciate that you said that. I think that in some ways, yeah, I do feel that I've earned it, right? I feel like I'm making all these sacrifices for them. And maybe it's different because I am a step parent. And so maybe.
Right. I wonder too. I almost think like they're more obligated to take care of you.
Right. I hope they listen to this. I'm going to tell them, tune in so you can find out what you're obligated to do. And I do think that there are thoughts of sacrifice and time and financial commitment. And maybe it is different when you, as you said, have your own child because you recognize I didn't choose, you didn't choose to do this. And this is my choice and my obligation. Whereas, I don't know, I could make the argument it was still my choice, right? I didn't have to marry my wife and choose to become a stepmother, but I am. And I do in some ways feel like I hope, and maybe that is what it is. I hope. Yeah. I don't necessarily feel that they're obligated to, but I can't promise that I wouldn't be hurt in the future. If I dedicated a lot of my life and time and money to them. And then fast forward, I'm 60 and I hope that I don't start needing
assistance. Let's say 85.
Until I'm 85. Oh God, 85.
Let's hope we make it there.
85 feels like certain death when I say it. It's just like, I'm going to be like
Jane Fonda and you'll feel better.
A carcass of myself. I hope I'm one of those old people that gets kind of skinny. Because that would be that's the benefit.
Start smoking cigarettes.
I guess 85. Like, why do you smoke? Well, when I was 80, I realized I needed to get skinnier. You can get older and you get for women especially, get like a big butt, just all your weight goes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, I do know what you're talking about. Yeah happens.
And I want to be old lady who gets a little skinny. I'd even take frail, to be quite honest.
Yeah. You take frail over big butt.
Yeah. Okay. 100%.
That's interesting. Well, 100%. This is reminding me, it's a little bit of a segue, but it's reminding me of the reason why I started working out seriously. Cause I don't like it.
You've never been a fan. Yeah.
Not my jam.
Yeah.
I'm uncoordinated. I don't like to do hard stuff.
Tell us more about the uncoordinated.
It's not for me. Oh my God. You've seen me dance. It's a nightmare. But I, when I turned 40, I was like, this is kind of the final chance to really try to get your body in. Cause it's all, it literally is kind of downhill, right? Like your body starts to deteriorate around this age and that's just kind of how it works.
You said it and you didn't even really sound sad.
You're
very matter of fact about it. That's nice.
It's a reality. It was just me facing it. And I was like, I'm not with anyone. I don't have kids. So there's no guarantee, right, that anybody is going to step in and take care of me or anything. So I started seeing a trainer and I want to take care of my bones. That's a big thing. I want to have muscles and be able to lift. And if I live in an apartment where I have to walk upstairs, I want to be able to do that and have a vitality and quality of life when I'm older. And so that's part of why I started actually working out more seriously working out period. I mean, I did yoga for a long time, but nothing lifting weights and, bench pressing shit and really working my body to make sure that I can move around and not break a hip from walking up the stairs.
I like that you're dropping lingo, bench pressing.
No, that's right. It's really... I know stuff. You
know things.
I do burpees. What?
It's really good for me to know because if my children don't take care of me, then I'll move in with you. Because you're going to have strong bones.
I'll be ready.
You'll be able to pick me up and help me out when I fall. So that's perfect. Good. That's good. I feel like if anything comes out of our friendship, this would be a big win for me.
It would be.
That you take care of me.
Just so you know, though, I do not feel obligated.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you for the clarity. Let's go back a second because Brooke, you and I went to college together. We've been friends for almost 25 years.
That's crazy.
Nuts. I know. And you live in Chicago. I'm here in Utah. We don't get to see each other all the time. But there is actually a story about you from college that reminds me.
This could go so many ways.
I know. My confession is that I've told my first year experience class. I teach a Foundations of College class at a university, and I have told this story a couple times. I don't use your name.
My story? Oh my God. I'm so flattered. Maybe. Let's hear what it is.
Yeah, we can always edit this out later. But along the lines of taking care of people, I think it looks so different when you're in college and your parents are taking care of you. You're mostly taking care of yourself and your friends. And I talk to my students about taking care of their friends when they've consumed too much alcohol or are not in a safe situation. And it reminds me of the time that you went to a fraternity formal of sorts, fraternity party. Yeah. And you and all of our friends came back on a bus. And I wasn't in a sorority or fraternity, neither were you.
I know the story you're talking about. Oh my God, I'm mortified.
Look on your face.
Go on.
We don't go into details. Okay,
no, I mean, it's truly fine. Like, I am at peace with the mistakes that I've made for the most part. So
that also comes with age, right? As you get older, you sort of think, like, when you were 27 and reflected on this story, you might have been mortified.
And so much shame.
Right. As you get older, you're like, life, right? Like, these things happen.
You just have compassion for yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I was going through some stuff and I wasn't handling it
and
well.
And you weren't dealing with it well.
Kind of, mm-hmm.
And so you went on this bus to a party with someone from a fraternity, I presume. I don't quite remember.
Yeah, I know. Yep, I know exactly.
Okay. And some of our friends are in a sorority, so they were there too. And I was back actually in the residence halls at UW Oshkosh. Holla, my peeps. Woo-hoo. I'm gonna edit that part.
Please. I'm embarrassed. We're both
raising the roof over here. And you didn't come back on the bus. And I remember asking folks, oh my God, do you see, these are the things old people say. I just said folks, which is a thing
folks
never would have said when I was 20.
Although not to have a total sidebar, but like younger people are saying folks now because it's like a non-gendered word.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm hip.
You're in
and
the clear.
I couldn't find you. And they said that you had gone home with someone. And I don't remember how we figured out who this someone was, but I remember specifically getting a friend of ours from a different residence hall who had a car to take us to this apartment complex where you supposedly were. And we went there, and it was one of those where you press a button for someone to buzz you in. And I had no idea which apartment it was. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. It was pretty late. And there were parties going on, I could hear. And so I just pressed all the buttons and someone buzzed me in. And I went up to one of the apartments that had music coming out of it. And I walked in and everybody just kind of looked at me. Oh, cool. Another person coming to the party. And I said, I'm looking for my friend. And I described what you were wearing. And they told me, oh, she's in there. And you were in the bedroom with someone. And I was very concerned because when our friends returned from the party, they informed me that you were pretty intoxicated.
Wasted. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so drunk that night. Yeah.
Yeah. And also that you didn't really know this person. I mean, they knew his name, but it wasn't someone I knew. It wasn't someone that I knew.
I knew people who knew him. It was just, I didn't know.
It wasn't like our best friend or anything. It was like, to me, some dude. So I go in there and I get you and I tell you to put your shirt on and we're going to leave because I knew that you weren't in a situation that later you would have wanted to be in, and also that you were not in the right state of mind to be making those decisions.
100%. Yeah.
And I share this story with my Foundations of College class or their first year students, mostly when we talk about taking care of your friends, watching out for people, making sure that you have someone in your group that's sober, that is responsible for situations exactly like this. And so because of that one night, I do feel like you owe me at least a few weeks of elderly care. Over time, it builds interest. And so
that's fair. That's fair. And I don't know that I ever even thanked you for it, if I'm being honest. So actually, now I take it back. Several months. I'll give you several months.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, it's funny that you say you didn't thank me. I don't know if you did or not, but those are the kinds of things you expect your friends to do for you when you're that age, to keep each other safe, to be there for one another, and to take care of each other. And so a thank you necessary or not. And so that makes me wonder, as I'm thinking about the future and the things you put into your children, is the expectation the same, right? That, you know, I don't need to thank you. As my kids don't thank me every day for taking care of them, but that when we're both older and they're in a position to take care of me, that they would want to, I think is the hope.
Yeah. Most people have. That's the hope, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and this makes me think too of like, it's just a different, the parent child dynamic is just so different from any other relationship that you have. Like it's not, like a friendship, that's an even level, right?
You're right, because it's voluntary.
To taking care of each other and looking out for each other. Whereas with the kid, they don't have a choice. And like, obviously they would be lost without you. Like they need you, but it's not like you entered into a contract. They're stuck with wherever they end up.
Yeah.
And so it's a little, like the dynamic's just a little bit different.
You're right. That does kind of change the perspective. When you think about aging and being single, how do you picture yourself at 70, 80, 85? So I think for a lot of folks, the retirement dream and the sort of aging dream is, you know, getting in an RV with your significant other and seeing all the things and then dying peacefully in your sleep. Or, I mean, so what do you think if you had to decide now how that was going to happen? What would it look like and how are you preparing for that?
Oh man.
Besides the heavy lifting you're doing.
Yeah, right. I'll still be working out. I'll be working out. Yeah. I'm doing my squats. I'm pretty open as far as like where my life leads. So like that sounds really fun, like going on a trip with someone, just like getting in the RV and driving across the world. It also, like, I could also live in Chicago for the rest of my life and just be like an old lady who lives in the city.
Yeah.
and just be like one of those old ladies out power walking every morning and, you know, waving to my neighbors. And
how are you going to power walk in Chicago in the cold?
Well, listen.
Listen, ICE is not the friend of the elderly people. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true. That is true.
Telling you, as I get older.
Okay, so I'm going to go and I'll find an indoor place.
Yes, you need a mall is what you need. Yeah.
The mall.
Yeah. ICE is scary. As I think, you know, one reason that people move to the South as they get older is that ICE will kill you.
It's like, for sure, right?
I've had
shoveling snow will kill you, yeah.
But even just walking on ice, you know, a little slip here or there and there goes your hip, so.
Yeah. No, and I mean, there's part, I am of two minds. Like, I can totally see myself staying Midwest.
I am of two minds.
Just the two minds.
Right.
Just the two. I can see myself staying in the Midwest. I love the vibe of the Midwest. I love being close to a lot of friends and family. And that especially would be nice if I was older, to be close to friends and family and still alone. I don't like the word alone, still on my own, or I don't know.
Doing my own thing.
Doing my own thing.
There you go.
But I lived in Los Angeles for several years, as you know, and really that desert weather would be so nice for the old bones.
And the skin, the old skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's part of me that really wants to just go live in the mountains too, or, you know, I wouldn't be too remote because that's a little scary as a single woman.
Yeah.
But like a small mountain town. Somewhere on the West Coast, maybe.
Okay.
Like, there's part of me that kind of wants to do that too.
Yeah.
I'm very torn between, you know, country and city.
Yeah.
I love them both.
You want the best of both. I get that.
Yeah.
How do you think people have this conversation with their children as I'm not quite 80, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, because there is the option that, and this is what I've seen some of my friends go through as of late, as their parents are probably in their 70s, some of them 80s, something happens and your mom or dad or needs to go to the hospital and then needs some physical therapy. Generally, these kinds of things for healthy older people start with a fall, honestly, right? Getting hurt in some way. My grandfather was doing pretty good and didn't have a ton of health issues, but then fell off a ladder trying to do, you know, to clean the gutters or something.
And then it all just kind of escalates.
And then it all was kind of downhill from there, right? And so is the conversation, because I think a lot of the times the conversation isn't, hey, here's the expectation. I need you as my child to take care of me. I think it generally happens where you fall, you're hurt, you're in the hospital, your kids come to see you, and then your kids have like a secret private meeting where they decide what's going to happen and who's going to step up and how they're going to step up. Again, to your point, being local is really helpful. And so one of my sisters lives really close to my parents, and my parents had informed me already that she is the executor of their will because she lives so close to them, I assume, or they like her better. It's possible. It's maybe both, but
people.
And so because of that, I kind of assume that as they have needs, because she is local, she will be helping them with that. And if she needs things, or if they need things that I can help with, or my other sister can help with, that they'll communicate that. I don't know that most people sit down and say,
yeah, I don't think they do.
Hello,
I think
son and
you're
daughter.
Right. That it's like it's like an in a situation that just like instigates the conversation, and it probably does most often happen between siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. My dad and my this was several years ago, but my dad and stepmom were redoing their wills, and they set it up so that I am like the decider. I don't know what that official term is, but like if he's on life support,
okay,
like I'm the one who can decide what to happen.
The decision maker. There's something fancier than that, but yes.
Yeah, but it's that. And then my sister Megan is that for my stepmom. And so they've definitely thought about it. And like my dad, you know, like I said, he's planned, you know, several decades in advance, like just all of these different scenarios. And, but they never sat down with us and asked or like set any expectations or asked what we were comfortable with. Yeah, that's never ever come up. And I don't know. I mean, it certainly may have in other families, but I never encountered any conversations with people where they're talking about that having happened. It's mostly just like, oh, my mom suddenly, you know, got sick and now I'm taking care of her.
Right. And I think if you're an only child, you're definitely on the hook. Right. Because you're all that they have. Yeah.
Well, and this is making me think of, I have a friend who, she's 35 now, so she's quite a bit younger than us, but she,
excuse me, at all.
Sorry to divulge.
I feel very outed right now. Quite a bit younger.
Several years younger than us, but at like 25, both her parents were dying, which is like, I mean, not to like a traumatic experience in and of itself, but to be that age and she's an only child, it was just all, she didn't really have a choice. She just had to take care of them. Like they couldn't, I don't know. It's just, it's such an interesting thing that she really had to grow up really fast.
And at 25, probably not fully prepared to do that.
Yeah, not at all.
I think part of being middle age is realizing that if you're middle age, your parents are old age. And
they were pretty young.
Yeah, in theory, you have your life a little bit more settled in middle age. You've figured out how to take care of your own finances. And so then you can maybe help them taking care of their finances.
Right.
But when something like that happens to you when you're 25 or 30, 35, that's a lot for a person to take on.
Yeah, it was, I was friends with her after all of that happened, but you know, it definitely has shaped a lot of who she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really sad.
I know.
This show's not supposed to be sad.
I know, sorry. She's a very well-adjusted person for what it's worth.
If I had one of those things, I'd play like a wah-wah, like a sad sound.
This is a Debbie Downer section of the podcast.
Well, I really appreciate your thoughts on this. And I think part of being middle age is recognizing that while your body is starting to fall apart and deteriorate and you have to take care of yourself in new ways, that you also may have family members that you need to take care of. And I think processing through that, it was something that I didn't give a lot of thought to when I was younger, taking care of my parents or better yet, who's going to take care of me. Is definitely something I think about now. In wrapping up, we are going to play a little game. I like to call it the then and now throwdown. Okay.
I love a game.
So think of it as like a would you rather game. It's like, would you rather then or now? So in this game, we like to compare choices or decisions we would have made when we were younger to choice and decisions that we make as we get older. Would you rather land your dream job straight out of college in your 20s or slowly climb the ladder and find your passion in your 40s?
Huh. I don't know what my dream job even would have been right out of college. I don't feel like I had any sense of what I wanted to do still when I was done with school. So I think I would, I feel like that's what I did is the ladder. I kind of fumbled around and just kind of gravitated towards what was working for me and what wasn't. And I'm pretty content with where I am now professionally.
Yeah.
I just kind of like learned what I didn't want. That was the biggest thing. And in figuring out what to do for a career, it was like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And I try different things and no, that's not it. And, you know, and really got to, I had the opportunity just given kind of the field I work in to fine tune what I'm really looking for in an organization. So.
All right. And finally, if you could go back in time with the knowledge you have now in your 40s or live through your 20s again with the same level of understanding, which would you choose? Would you want to go back with the knowledge you have now, or would you want to go back with the same knowledge you had then?
Oh,
because I mean, I think,
cool. Interesting.
Right. There's some carefree spirit to being 20 or 25 and thinking, I don't really know any better. And so then you do things. And I'm wondering if you could take your knowledge now, but be 20. I mean, would you even be fun is the question?
Right.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty fun right now, aren't I?
That's true. You are.
And
I mean, you're fun.
Wouldn't have
you're fun
to
for
go
four.
Get me out of frat house bedrooms.
That's true. Yeah.
So that's fun. I probably would, honestly. Like I've been through a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of like, you know, reflection and personal growth and worked a lot on that. I think I'm a much healthier version of myself now. And I do wish that for my 20-year-old self. I wish that I had been a little bit healthier mentally.
At that time, probably weren't fully aware of how, quote, unhealthy or mentally unstable you might have been at that point, right? And upon self-reflection, you're like, wow, it's kind of like a hot mess.
Yeah, just really, right? Just super.
But again, you didn't know that.
Dealing with your ships in such an unhealthy way. Yeah, no,
it's like ignorance is bliss, right?
Listen, it's really hard to tell if you have a drinking problem in college in Wisconsin, period.
Yeah. That's a fair statement.
There's so much drinking. I remember people coming to visit UW Oshkosh and being like, holy shit, this is not normal.
Is
other
wild.
Schools don't do this.
It was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. Brooke, thank you so much for being here and being vulnerable and being willing
me.
To chat about this with me and thousands of other listeners. And you're not excused from being on this podcast in the future just because you came on once.
Okay. Fair enough. Every time I come on the show, though, it takes a week off of your elderly care.
The elderly care you promised me? Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks, friend.
And thanks for chatting with me. That's Hot Flashbacks. We're out. Thanks for listening to Hot Flashbacks. If you enjoyed it, be sure to follow us on social media and like this episode. Want more content? Smash that follow button wherever you get your podcasts and never miss an episode. Thanks for sharing your ears, friends. I'll catch you on the flip side.